I want to share with you some out of Daniel chapter 3. And I want to tell you that it's not going to be a lot, but it's going to be really the heart of what I believe this gathering is going to be about. And I believe it's going to be the heart of what the Lord is desiring from us. And I believe it's going to be the heart of pretty much what I'll be sharing for a while. And y'all know me. I build and I, well, this is one of the first times that I literally start with and on a small level at a meeting like this. But I want to share it with you. And he's already opened the scriptures for me in this whole chapter. So for those of you who want to do it, it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt to go ahead and when in your spare time to read Daniel 3 all the way through. And it is about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it's about the situation of them not bowing down to the idol of Babylon, which is Nebuchadnezzar's idol. And of course, then they get found out or whatever, and they get thrown into the fiery furnace. And I want to talk about that fiery furnace. And I had mentioned this morning, and something many of you probably weren't on, but I'd mentioned to you that some of the things that I shared and that Cassie and Kelly shared at the New Year's Eve service this past year, and I shared like 2 days after that or something like that. I believe it'd be beneficial if you could get that information, but we'll see what we can do and see if we can get it out to you. All right, so this is Daniel 3. Okay, so the basic point up to this point, because I'm not going to read the whole chapter, is that the king has taken them and he's thrown them into the fiery furnace. I'm going to start at verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, some of you know that I have been sharing out of 1 Peter, and 1 Peter talks about strange fire, and it's not strange fire. He's saying, you know, why are you looking at this as, you know, think not that this is strange fire. This is my fire, not judgment fire. This isn't because you messed up or because, you know, these bad people are doing things to you. This is my desire to get less dross out of you and more gold. And Ben really covered that very well. The gold representing, and always does in the scriptures, deity, God, getting more of him. And so there's this fiery furnace. And this furnace can be seen in at least two different ways. And our furnace or our fiery situation can be seen in two different ways. It can be seen as strange fire, or it can be seen as purifying fire. And God wants us to know the difference and stop calling his efforts, meaning fiery situations, stop calling his efforts to get his son out of us strange fire or judgment fire or evildoer fire that's coming against me. So we see that they fell down, and they fell down bound into the fiery furnace. Okay, so if you remember, the whole basic premise of this chapter and of worshiping this golden image that they wouldn't bow down to. Everyone else was falling down before this image, but they wouldn't do it. But while in the fiery furnace, they fall down, and you know who's in there. You know who is in there with them. And also this fact that they were bound when they went in. They were bound. Okay. Well, you and me are always worrying about our, you know, the things, you know, that are have me bound up, the things that have me restricted, the things that are holding me back, and the things that are, you know, we're bound and we want to become unbound and we want to become unbound so that we can be with Jesus. But what methods are we using to do that? What methods are we using to become unbound so that we can be with Jesus? I mean, we're praying, we're fasting, we're doing so many different things. And you know, well, if this one doesn't work, I'll do this one. But what if he's already on the move trying to help them to be unbound, no longer bound? And I think that certainly a new creation, and I think that in the Jesus tribe, the larger that is us, all of you probably on some level have something that you feel bound over, or something that you feel is restricting you and holding you back from getting the Lord and holding you back. And God wants to teach you something of how he can change all of this. And of course, they're bound and in this fiery furnace. So they're bound up. You know, anybody ever really been bound up on the inside? You know, just struggling? I see you. Yeah. Okay. I'm looking at the whole screen. You all, no, not really. You're over there. Anyway, just remember that Isaac, when Abraham offered his son, he was bound. Yeah, he was bound and laid on that altar. But he was on the altar. He was, if you will, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in the altar. This fiery furnace is nothing but an altar. And they're in the altar. They're not just standing there or offering something. They're in it. And that's part of what God, and we'll be sharing along these lines, you know, to help bring us all together in oneness. That fact is very, very important, that this year it's not just going to the altar or being with Jesus at the altar, but it's being with Jesus in the altar. And this fiery furnace, well, the king may have had it made, but God had it made into an altar, because that's where he's going to do his work, in us. And that's where we're going to become unbound. Not outside of it, not looking at it and thanking him for it, but in the altar with him. So, verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Okay. He, first of all, notice he's astonished. And that's so important. That's so important. And then notice that he's questioning, well, what did we do? You know, and he has to ask his counselors, did not we cast three men in there in the midst of the fire? Shouldn't they be dead? They answered and said unto the king, true, okay. That's true. We did. Maybe they said a little different than that. But that's true. We did. we took three guys, cast them in the fiery furnace that was seven times hotter than any other time. We did that. Okay. They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Wow. I see four men. I see them walking. I see them walking in the midst of the fire. Okay. So let me just read stuff. I don't really have a whole lot more from the scripture. I mean, from reading scripture. But let me just read what I believe to be the heart of what God wants this year. What we can give to Jesus is not just giving him something, but being with him. So the king was not astonished at the death of his mighty men, because remember, when they were throwing him in, the fire burned up his mighty men, his mighty men. He wasn't astonished at that. But at the fact that the weak were still living, and Jesus had joined them in the altar flame. The weak ones that could not resist the armies or the mighty men or the king or the or all of the whole kingdom of Babylon. They couldn't with that withstand them. They were the weak. And I'll read that again. The king was astonished at the death, not at the death of his mighty men, but at the fact that the weak were still living. And Jesus was right there. He joined in with them in the altar flame. And none of them were bound anymore. He's funny. I mean, in this sense, we're trying to get unbound and we're fighting and we're groaning and we're, you know, exacerbated and we're troubled and, you know, all these things. And God has his method, and that's a whole lot of what this gathering is going to be about, to find out more on these kind of things. By us wanting Jesus to help us avoid or get out of our bonds, we are using the wrong method for getting free from the bondage we are in. I mean, when these mighty men first grabbed them and bound them up, I'm sure it was a little walk through the crowd, you know, and they had a lot of time to think, what have we done? What have we done? You know, now we're all bound up, and our lives are going to be filled with flames. Yes, they are in the midst of the fire, but we're now inside of that furnace, walking with Jesus. It says they were walking. They're walking with Jesus. They weren't walking with Jesus before. They were standing for God, but they weren't walking with Jesus. This is better than just making a commitment to stand for not doing something against his commandments. You know, the king's command is bow down, fall down, and, you know, all this stuff. And no, we're going to make a stand. We're strong. We're going to be with the Lord. Okay, that's fine. But there's something greater than that. That actually led to them being bound. Their great stand, their commitment, but God has another way. So one example given here is about standing for Jesus, and the other example is about walking with Jesus unbound. Standing with Jesus, with your commitments, or walking with Jesus unbound. The motive behind the stand is trying to avoid doing something we don't want to do. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, there are some people that can put their heels in the ground and say, well, I don't want to do another gathering. I don't want to do that. Here's what I say. Come on in. The flames are fine. Jesus is in here. Get in there. Get into the... Don't run from that. Don't try to avoid that. But give yourself and do it in knowing, understanding what this process really is, and see if he doesn't, because nobody reached into those flames and did that for those three guys. Jesus didn't even do that. He came into it, and they're, you know, isn't it funny that they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them, but they had those ropes or chains burned off of them. We can experience that, but we have to see the difference. Well, I'll make a stand. I just don't know. I just don't think. No, that's it. That's probably your problem. You don't think. You don't think you know. No. Jesus first. What? At what cost? Any cost. Do you know being with Jesus in the flame, unbound, is better than your freedoms and your rights? Just give it to him. Just turn it over to him. So, read that a little bit again. The motive behind the stand is trying to avoid doing something we don't want to do. But the walk is getting involved in the altar fire where Jesus will show up. See, it's not getting involved with Jesus. It's getting involved with the altar fire where he shows up. Big difference. Big difference. See, being in the fire on the altar, not at the altar. The walk is getting involved in the altar fire where Jesus will show up in our lives and get us free from what has bound us. Does that sound good to anybody? Let me hear something. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then the scripture says, wherever two or three or four, yes, Jesus, he's in the midst. If there's three, and you're there for him, there's four. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Wherever, doesn't matter. Wherever two or three are gathered, the gathering. I didn't rearrange the scriptures, by the way. It just says that. Wherever two or three are gathered. We have his word on it. Jesus said that to us. We can bring that into us and be with him gathered where he's at. Wherever it is, wherever. See, that's the beauty of it. It's wherever. You say, well, I want it to be a happy place. Well, that's fine. That's fine. But know that it doesn't matter. The place shouldn't matter. It's that he's in our midst. The place is not what's important. Ben hit on that just a little bit with this morning with Peter and the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration wanting to build, you know, tabernacles for everybody. Well, they were gathered, but they weren't gathered. They were attending. They were attending. And Jesus doesn't check attendance. He checks gathering. And so, I wrote, it does not matter how bad the place is where they gather, but matters only if they are willing to be with him in his sufferings. He will be there. That was perfect timing because I'm almost out of juice. So, may the Spirit of God quicken us. May the Spirit of God not quicken us to first and foremost to the gathering. Not quicken us to Randy's little sharing that happened here. May the Lord quicken us to the realities that are right there. And guess what? I got news for you. This story from start to finish in chapter 3 of Daniel, it's in the New Testament. Where do you think it's located? 1 Peter. Yes, it sure is. And we'll be exploring so many avenues because it's got so many. Didn't you think that, wow, that's a lot of stuff in that little story instead of just some guys getting in there and Jesus saving them and then they go, oh, look, you know, Jesus saved us. It's more than that. He unbound them and was with them. So may we start adjusting our hearts for what's coming. And we're going to have more times of sharing in advance of that. And God's going to be with us and he's going to lift us into that. All we have to do is start with opening our heart and saying, Lord, thy will be done. You know, I mean, Jesus was going into the fire when he said, you know, if it be your will, take away this flame. Nevertheless, don't listen to me. Your will be done. Father, we just present ourselves to you, to your Son, to the Spirit of God, to be able to burn off the bonds and the bondage that just keeps us troubled and keeps us worried and keeps us wondering and even at times keeps us doubting, thinking you're not answering, thinking you're not moving. When we're looking in the wrong place, we're like that woman, Father, that you wrote about in the Word of God that lost the coin and she's looking everywhere, but she can't find it. Well, until she starts looking in the right place. We're not looking in the right place. We're running from the right place. We're running from the flames thinking that if I give myself, somebody will abuse me or so. I don't know, Father. I don't know all the thoughts of that. I just know that you want to broaden our horizons. You want to open our eyes, but we have to first open our heart and say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Could y'all just say those words with me wherever you're at right now? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Let's say it one more time. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Father, wrap us up in that bundle of being with you in your reality and make it real to us so that we joyfully join with you. We choose you. We ask you to do it for your Son's glory, not for our glory, not for our glory, but for your Son's glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.